The difference that we have over a lot of other destinations is our people. People that are welcoming, people that are friendly, people that will invite you to their own crawfish bowl. If you don't have anywhere to have lunch, well, come on over to my house. We're having a crawfish bowl. We want them to leave here telling others about how much they enjoyed it.
Thanks for joining us on Louisiana's Playground Podcast, your roadmap to all things Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm Brady Raynard.
And I'm Jillian Quarter. We're excited to bring you another episode of the podcast with all the authentic stories and experiences of Southwest Louisiana. We, of course, have all the tools you need to build your own personal Lake Charles itinerary.
And that we do. Episode 85 of the podcast. And for the first time ever, we have a sound the alarm. We paid big money for that alarm. That is the repeat guest alarm.
That's right.
Kyle Edmiston, president, CEO of Visit Lake Charles, us on the podcast again, this time to talk about the incredible 2026 year, season, era.
2026 and everything that we have on tap for the year to come.
It's going to be a big one. A lot of fun. Great conversation upcoming there. But before we get to that, you should know the drill by now. It's time for On the Eats.
It's much like our repeat guest alarm. It's only slightly different.
Yeah, as I said, we paid big money for this. This week we head to Cajun Charlie's in Sulphur. They reopened in 2025, but they had about two decades of Cajun Charlie's experience and here's a good one, lore. There was two decades worth of Cajun Charlie's lore in Sulphur from the 80s until well into the 2000s. You know, essentially they've got Louisiana staples. Some of them have a little bit of a twist, but you know, it's Cajun Creole food.
The best stuff, right? Everything that's like your down home cooking, the things that the locals here grew up eating, right? Mm-hmm.
Although I think their biggest claim to fame is their lunch buffet. That's what people talk about when you talk Cajun Charlie's.
Well, yeah, because if you have a lunch buffet.
Mm-hmm. And it changes every day. So it changes each and every day. And on Friday and Saturday, it turns into a seafood buffet.
Obviously a hit.
Yep. And then they have a lunch and brunch buffet on Sunday. So, a lot of good buffets in addition to their menu, which is what we, of course, ordered off of.
If the word buffet is associated with it, I'm in.
I get that. I get that. And in addition to the restaurant, next door, they call it Cajun Cuts.
Yep.
It's a meat market. They've got like pork skins, cracklings, boudin, ribeyes, gumbos, pork loins. They do their own seasonings. They do crawfish and holiday meals. Information for theirs on their websites. So they kind of have a lot of different options cornered for you.
It's not just a restaurant. Great. It's a market too.
Sure.
Yeah. And it's got a little bit of everything. Yep. So you can always eat there, but you can always take it home. To cook for your family later.
Highly suggested that. So let's start with the meal. I'll open first. We got the cracklings, which was a great choice. They had the chicken cracklings. So those are not the normal ones that you would get any place if you just order cracklings. Typically, those are pork. The chickens, though, it was crunchy, but it was soft. Kind of like a leveled up chicken nugget almost. Like it's very good. But, you know, a little different. The pork crackling, meanwhile, super tender. The texture on this pork, on their crackling, at 10 out of 10. Like, one of the best textures I have ever had on a crackling. Sometimes they can be overdone, and they're crunchy, but too crunchy, or they're a little dry.
Too salt, yeah.
This one was not dry. It had some crunch, but not too much. It was flavorful. I'm telling you, like, it's now on my Mount Rushmore of Southwest Louisiana cracklings. It's up there.
Okay.
Shout out Famous Foods. Their wet cracklings are up there too.
Well, yeah, you can't get rid of those.
But
I've seen you eat those before.
Very good cracklings.
Okay. And then you also got rib bites too.
Yeah, they brought out the rib bites. Those were really good. I mean, They were bites of rib, right? And
spoiler alert.
Flavorful. They were salty. They had some chewy and crispiness. The texture was great. The texture for all their food is really good. So if you're kind of a weirdo about textures,
that's me.
That's not a problem there. They all had very interesting and good textures, and interesting as in like it was worth noting about each of them.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by interesting in a very positive manner.
But definitely flavorful. And talk about flavor. Sure. Bacon wrapped shrimp.
Yep. Jalapeno flavor, the huge shrimp. Notice this is me eating a lot of this. A lot of these things Jill is not a fan of.
Yeah. But seafood. That's just, again, right. That's a me thing.
Right. And they were very, very good. Highly recommend the bacon wrapped shrimp. And they're apparently very, very popular on their menu.
I could talk about pistolettes.
Yes. Weren't those awesome?
Pistolettes are amazing. So good. Yeah. Pistolettes are like, so they're so fluffy, right? Mm-hmm. If you've never eaten one before, this is a bread. This is a side of your side dish if you're or you know, to pair with a dish. But they're so fluffy and they've got this sweet and salty thing about them that is kind of untouched by anything else.
And then imagine that, and then how they had it. Remember, they had etouffee over one, and then they had the kind of a crawfish cheesy sauce over the other.
Yep, like a fettuccine sauce on it.
So good.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, both of them were amazing.
It could be a meal all by itself.
Easily. As for the entree, so at this point, I was already kind of stuffed, and then the entree came.
I got the blackened chicken pasta, which was so good that I promised someone that because it was so much of it.
Okay.
This is great. So it's blackened chicken pasta, so good. Creamy, spicy, buttery, like really creamy sauce, but packed with flavor. It's not just like a butter.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like sometimes you can have something so rich that it doesn't have a ton of flavor to it.
Yep.
This had flavor and a ton of chicken. Like way too much chicken was on this dish. I was thinking, man, you really overdid it because it was so much food. It was so good that I promised someone that they could split it with me. And then I just kept eating it and didn't leave them enough for a meal.
Sorry.
And I had to say, I'm so sorry I ate your food. Because it was so good. A ridiculous amount of chicken grilled, seasoned to perfection. Mm-hmm. They're not just mailing it in with like, okay, here's some grilled chicken to throw at the top of your fettuccine. Like this is, it's thoughtful. The amount of flavor, what they're using to flavor it, it just tasted so good. Big, thick fettuccine pasta. Really, really, really good. So it came with a side, and I got the carrot souffle, which I had never heard before. I've never ordered that before.
Sure.
a lot like a sweet potato or a yam. Mm-hmm. It was a little sweet. It was mashed and kind of sweet, but not too sweet. Had powdered sugar on top, but it wasn't dessert. Right. It was that perfect kind of like a pistolette, kind of that sweet, salty, somewhere in between.
Yep.
And was the perfect side, I think, for fettuccine because I'm known to pick up a bite of like everything on the plate at once.
Paired well with it.
And it did. It did really.
In its own way.
It did in its own unique way. And I've never had this before, but I really like carrots. But again, imagine a sweet potato type thing, but made with carrots. It was really good.
Yeah, I agree. It was good. And the seafood variant of the pasta is just as magnificent.
Yeah, super
popular. And in fact, that amongst their crew, that is the most popular item on the menu.
Yeah. I had to go for the chicken.
Right. One. So just so you know, the seafood pasta is probably the most popular item on the menu for the staff. As for what I got, the fish atchafalaya. So you'll typically find this dish in a lot of different Cajun Creole restaurants. It is a piece of fish, sometimes fried, sometimes blackened, sometimes grilled, depending on your choice, and then covered with, or maybe I should say smothered with crawfish or a shrimp, just depending on, theirs was a crawfish etouffee.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a butter sauce on top of a blackened piece of fish that's on top of a bed of rice. And it's
got everything.
Oh my god! It's one of my favorite things because it truly is like the fish is so well seasoned, and because it's a blackened season, it's a little more on the salty, and then it's a savory buttery on top. It's a hint of sweetness in the.
It's like the best of all worlds,
right? It's not sweet, but there's it's a hint of it, right? Mm-hmm. and buttery, salty. Like, it's one of those that hits all of the flavor profiles all in one dish, which means that it's going to be good. And the fish was so tender. The crawfish is great. It's buttery and salty and perfect. And it's just like, it makes you do that little dance in the chair.
Mm-hmm. He's doing the dance, everybody.
You know, it's wonderful. It's probably one of my favorite Cajun Creole dishes is that fish smothered in etouffee.
Yeah. Well, because again, it's like the best of all worlds. If you can't choose between things, mm-hmm. like, do I want fish? Do I want etouffee? Do I want something that's more of a pasta? Do I want something that's heartier?
Like,
all together.
Yes.
And, yeah. So overall, an amazing experience over at Cajun Charlie's. Really good. So glad they're back.
Yeah.
I remember going there as a kid.
Oh.
Yeah.
Core memory unlocked.
Yeah. Weird, right? How things come back to you mm-hmm. suddenly whenever you're back in that space. But yeah, really good stuff, man.
From a great meal to a great guest, we welcome on once again our first ever repeat guest, Mr. Kyle Edmiston, the CEO, president, right here at Visit Lake Charles. He's also got a swath of other titles that I could sit here and list from the different organizations he either helps lead or leads. But for the purposes of this podcast,
He's boss man.
President, CEO of Visit Lake Charles. And like I said, the first ever repeat guest. He was on episode one. Welcome to the show, Kyle.
I'm glad to be back. How many episodes did it take before I finally got an invite to come back?
84-ish. So
something,
you know,
like that.
That's
a few.
That's pretty good. What we thought, what better time than to bring you back than for what should be, in my opinion, maybe the biggest year for Lake Charles in quite some time. 2026. What do they always say? This is my year.
Yeah, this is our year.
If Lake Charles had an Instagram, it would have a picture of the sunset, the lakefront, and would say, 2026 is my year.
I like that.
I like that a lot. Thanks. Maybe you should be in marketing, Brady. Because it's
weird.
Certainly sounds like you've got it down here.
Yeah, you know what you're doing or something like that. Okay, Kyle, so you've already survived a rapid fire once before. And since you're a repeat customer, you have now unlocked level two of our rapid fire questions.
Yeah, and I had no prep on the rapid fire just to let the audience know. This is purely out of blue.
No.
Here we go.
So three new questions all about how you play in Louisiana's playground. Number one, what is one local restaurant that you think is just not talked about enough?
I would say that Restaurant Cala would fall underneath that list. It's a smaller restaurant from a seating capacity standpoint. The food, though, and the drink is always on point. But I just think they get lost in the shuffle a little bit from restaurants that are talked about.
I went one time, and I think it may have been for On the Eats. Mm-hmm. I got the pork chop. The pork chop was the size of my head, mm-hmm. and it was so good.
Yeah.
It was so good. Their burgers are great, too.
Their burgers are what I always get.
And come highly requested.
The loaded fries are also outstanding. If you haven't tried the loaded fries, yes.
Write that down. Loaded fries.
Write that down.
Also, though, like Restaurant Cala, I love for a drink. Right. Like they have an outstanding bar. The bartenders are super creative mm-hmm. and it's always like a fun atmosphere.
Definitely worth your time while here.
Okay. Question number two. If you could bottle up one Lake Charles smell as a candle, what would it be?
Just because of what water means to the community and to the visitor experience, the smell that you get off of the waterfront when the wind is mm-hmm. blowing in and the tide is up.
I love that.
It's definitely a distinct, very much, it takes you back to the ocean. Has a little salt
in the air. Yeah.
Yes.
That's good.
I thought that maybe you were going to say, you know, that smell of when that po' boy hits your table and it's that buttery roll smell.
See, and my first thought was like that crawfish boil spice in the air.
I
like this question.
And I did. I also thought about the smell you get when you throw the cracklings in the pot and they first start cooking.
I had aroma today. I had cracklings today.
Right, yeah, you can't go wrong.
Okay, last rapid fire question here. If you leave Lake Charles without blank, you have to come back.
I think what we just saw, if you leave Lake Charles without trying the cracklings, you have to come back.
Okay.
Okay.
Again, they are just so unique and special to all of South Louisiana, but specifically Southwest Louisiana. We have so many of our different stops that carry them, so you can get them in a multitude of places. But if you haven't tried that, then you got through here without sampling something that's really special.
That's a good point, and such a good road snack too. So
yeah, you can take it with you. You don't have to eat it in, but you know, and again, I almost said, you know, if you haven't tried Darrell's,
sure,
because you know, Darrell's a staple, best mm-hmm. po' boy in the state of Louisiana.
Yeah.
But you know, you can't carry that with you and eat it in the car. You have gravy from head to toe and all over your car.
Could you imagine?
I did have to make a trip to Baton Rouge earlier this week, and I wanted to grab something real quick before I got on my way, and I was driving past Darrell's, and I thought about it. I was like, could I eat it in the car? How would I do? No, I got to keep on driving.
Yeah.
I thought about it.
But with the Cracklins, you have them in a little paper bag.
There you go.
Can snack on the road on your way out of town. So
I agree. And look, we had mentioned earlier about what 2026 could be for this area. I really think that Lake Charles right now has so much momentum, and we've been moving with it. I would almost call 2025 a foundational year for what our future holds. How would you overall summarize the sentiment and the vision of the city right now?
Well, you know, Brady, in across the country, even today, and as we finish up 2025, a lot of DMOs, a lot of destinations still refer back to pre-COVID, which would actually be 2019, as their baseline year. And differing parts of the country have come back quicker from that, and some have seen tremendous success, and some are still struggling to get back to that 2019 baseline. But, you know, when I try to describe where we are, you know, we went through the same thing they did, except 6 months later, we had two massive hurricanes that destroyed our product. So, you know, we've not only have had to come back from the COVID issues, we've also had to come back from rebuilding our assets, rebuilding our hotels, rebuilding our infrastructure. And so when you say 2025 is foundational, I think we're just now getting to the point of where everything is back in place. You know, we during 2025, we opened Port Wonder next door to our building right here, a fabulous new tourism asset that is a huge attraction. Well, that should have been open 4 or 5 years ago, mm-hmm. but because of the hurricanes, because of the COVID issues, it didn't open till last year. So very much, I think you're spot on that 2025 is putting things in place. 26 is, I think, going to be outstanding. I would just caution this that 26 is only going to lead into an even greater 27. Yeah. So I know we're not wanting to look that far down the road, but I think we're hitting a stride, and the whole destination is feeling it, what you're describing, that is setting the stage for multiple years of significant growth.
Well, I think that's typically how this thing works, right? Like when you start building, everything isn't built. What do they say? Rome isn't built in a day, right?
Correct.
So great destinations, great places to go are places that are always changing and always upgrading and never just sitting on the status quo. And I think we're at the beginning of that, where you're seeing positive momentum year after year, and we'll continue to do so.
I couldn't agree more. I think that we are seeing the uptick. As we finish up 25, I think you're absolutely spot on that 26 is going to be even better. And then, like I said, I don't want to put a percentage to it,
sure.
But I think 27 and 28 are just going to build off that momentum that we're seeing in 25 and 26.
How does it feel to sit here and hear somebody tell me how right I am, Jill?
It's just excruciatingly painful. Every time I have to go, yeah, Brady, you're right. You're right. It hurts my pride just a little bit. But for those who don't remember, I am his wife. That's the. I think some people listen to this and they're just like, "Man, she's so mean."
Well, and then Jill, you know, we can always bring out the Eagles if we want to bring him back down to our level. So
hey, but I like the Eagles too. So it's just as painful. Okay, I just don't stay up late to watch them lose these days. I go to bed and say I'll check the post game in the morning. It's pretty depressing. It really is. Real quick, okay. First, let's get back down to the very basics, because I think some people here visit Lake Charles and they think that this, what you do here every day in this building, I think people think is like it's just a stop for tourism to tourists to grab the latest brochures, right?
Right.
But y'all are so much more than that, this organization.
Right. Well, you know, again, you are right. We have two locations, one in Sulphur at the head of the Creole Nature Trail. It's called Creole Nature Trail Adventure Point. And then we have the main office, which is here in Lake Charles, right on the lakefront, right on I-10. And both do accommodate visitors stopping in, getting information. So that part is true. But certainly what you alluded to is what we do is so much more. Again, we have a sales team that works on getting conventions and meetings and conferences and group business here. We have a sports team that is doing a phenomenal job of bringing all types of national sporting events, state sporting events to Southwest Louisiana. And then we have a marketing team that markets not only domestically but internationally to bring visitors to Southwest Louisiana. And so the combination of those three departments really is the driving force behind this industry that has an economic impact over $750 million. And like I said, if people aren't paying attention, they might not necessarily just see that. If you're, you know, they see the big hotels that we have, the casino properties, the resorts, and they're beautiful. But there's a whole lot of activity that goes on both during the week and certainly on the weekends that our team is a part of filling up those hotels and a part of having that economic impact throughout the entire community.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of locals may not realize the community investment that's happening and the benefits for them. They may not see what's in it for me, right?
Right. Well, I think you can look at some of the infrastructure that we've currently added and are going to add in the next year or two, and know that increases your quality of life as a citizen of Southwest Louisiana. Again, opening Port Wonder is for our children and our grandchildren, as well as those who are visiting from out of town. So, you know, it's a great learning experience that really has things for kids of all ages, adults, to see and do. You know, obviously next door to that is adding Crying Eagle Lakefront. Just, you know, enhances everyone's culinary experience with the sunset views that we talk about.
Absolutely.
We're opening the Mardi Gras Museum, which, again, is going to be an educational experience over on Enterprise Boulevard. That'll open up in February. The indoor sports complex, even the sports facilities that we already have, both at Spar and at Ward 3, the more that we can do that enhances what brings visitors here makes the quality of life for our own citizens better. And so it's certainly a dual role that we play in as we try to add these facilities and these amenities to our community.
So all of those that you just kind of mentioned really are some of the major breakthroughs that we were able to see in 2025. Using those as well as what else helps, like in terms of metrics, when looking at how you determine things are on the right path. What metrics do you use in addition to seeing physical properties like that come up?
Well, we have a whole myriad of metrics through some different data sources that we use, both from number of visitors here, which is in excess of 7.5 million visitors. So for those of you out there who are visiting us, thank you for being one of the 7.5 million.
Shout out to you. You're the real MVP.
You are the real MVP. We couldn't do what we do without you. For those of you locally listening, did you realize we had over 7.5 million visitors to Southwest Louisiana last year? We obviously don't have the 25 numbers yet, but we think that's going to be an increase because some of the other metrics are tied directly to our hotels. Some of the other metrics are tied to sales tax receipts. And again, some of the other metrics are through some key phone data where we can trace where the visitors are coming from and what they're doing while they're here. And so we're able to track some of that. But all of those metrics go into it. And, you know, when every one of them is pointed up, Brady, that's when you know that, again, you've mm-hmm. turned a corner and things are going in the right direction because they're all on the upswing.
A lot of the things that we've talked about, too, specifically are lakefront development projects, which we people that are local to this area have been sitting and waiting for and hoping for and discussing and arguing about for decades now, right? And so finally to see these things coming to fruition is just it feels super rewarding for people who live here and people who visit this area a lot. Finally, the thing on the lakefront, right? What do you think is next for this stretch of lakefront development?
Well, the good part of this is the city owns all of the land on the lakefront. And so they are the developer, so to speak, with that. They, I'm not sure at what point, but they were or will be seeking an RFQ request for qualifications to develop some more of the lakefront on around Lakeshore Drive from the parking garage. So kind of going east of the parking garage, and then as you make that big curve right there. And so I think it was a 15-acre site that they were looking for next. I think the general concept, as it is described in the Just Imagine program, is, things that are entertainment-driven, whether that's retail, restaurants, some living quarters possibly, but, just mixed-use development all along the lakefront that's going to then create density of people moving back and forth. And again, having the boardwalk that goes from the marina all the way around to awesome. North Beach so that you can hike, bike, do anything, I guess, other than
rollerblade.
Rollerblade. You can do anything that's not motorized on the walkway, but, it will move people back and forth. And so, like I said, it's to your statement that Rome wasn't built in a day, we've taken the first steps for the lakefront, but certainly the overall goal is that we will fill in all of the space from North Beach to the marina with things that both visitors like, as well as then improves the quality of life for our citizens.
And the little things are, we shouldn't overlook either. New bathrooms coming up. I mean, I just drove past North Beach on my way in right now, and I'm seeing the construction still working on the North Beach restrooms, the pickleball court. There's people out now playing beach volleyball right now, like fresh nets up. It's so good to see people finally taking advantage of this beautiful stretch we've got that maybe was underutilized for a while. So it's so good to see.
And our staff takes advantage of it. We have a group in the afternoon that uses their afternoon break, and they go out, and as long as the weather is not raining, mm-hmm. they spend the 15 minutes just walking as a group along the lakefront together. And it's just exercise, fresh air, being out and with each other. And, 15 minutes, and it's a great use of the space. And like I said, the more people that we can get down here, as we add businesses, I think the more it's going to continue to develop. One thing I would like to add as we talk about that real quick is the importance that the new I-10 bridge will play with that. Mm-hmm. And, same as a lot of other things, we've heard it talked about for years and wondered, is it going? There's construction going on right now that is part of the I-10 bridge project. It is moving forward. It's not in concept anymore. It's not in a drawing. It's actually moving forward. Now, it's going to take a while to do, but, by 2030, when that new bridge opens, that's going to significantly improve this corridor. And by that point, again, the lakefront hopefully will have grown some more as well. And so you're talking about having 80 to 100,000 cars a day go by an area that's now open for business and ready to welcome them. And those two combined will be a very strong economic development statement.
It'll be the front porch that we always needed.
Yeah.
Good call. Yes.
And that's going to be a lot of excitement there. Now, speaking of another project that you had slightly touched on, the Mardi Gras Museum, how do you feel like this new institution will both enhance the Mardi Gras experience, even starting this year, and just moving forward?
Well, it's the largest collection of Mardi Gras costumes in the world. to our knowledge. And no one has more costumes than they have, all of the royalty from years and years of collections. And so, you know, before, when they were in Central School, they had the museum, and it certainly was still a good attraction, but they had way more in storage than they had on display. And so going to this new facility, they're going to be able to showcase so many more of the costumes that they have. It's over 6,000 square feet. The experience, the building was designed for this in mind. And so the path, as you walk through the museum, it leads you and it tells a story. It tells the Southwest Louisiana Mardi Gras story. And so from an educational experience, you know, for any of our youth, school groups, any of that, it's going to provide just a great learning atmosphere. And then for those visiting who aren't as familiar with Mardi Gras, there would be nowhere better that you can go learn the Mardi Gras experience than through the Mardi Gras Museum. So it has been needed. And again, we're very fortunate to the EDA to be able to get the grant that allowed us to build this facility. And like I said, and thank goodness for the Mardi Gras Museum Board, who has been all on board for several years, because it's taken far longer than we really wanted it to. Again, post-COVID construction is sometimes difficult, and especially in Southwest Louisiana, again, with everything else that's going on. But, you know, we feel like it's going to have a grand opening in February of 2026, and again, just be a one-stop shop for anyone who has a love for Mardi Gras, both during the Mardi Gras season, but year-round.
Being that it opens so soon, have you seen it recently?
I have.
And?
It's a great building, but they haven't started doing any of the costumes yet.
Okay. So
we have not.
The displays are not the ready.
the true displays are not out there. I see it in my head, but I don't actually see it yet. We're almost in the process of taking ownership of the building, at which point then the Mardi Gras Museum Board can move in. And again, it'll take about 6 to 8 weeks for them to get all the displays set up and be ready to open.
Well, as a wannabe costumer my entire life, I'm very excited about this. I really am. Mardi Gras costumes get me so excited, and it's like my favorite part of the year, going to Mardi Gras Ball, seeing the royalty, seeing the costumes on, you know, 12th night. I can't wait for this to open up, especially just in time for Tuesday.
Just in time for Fat Tuesday. Yep. The anticipated grand opening would be February 13th. Unfortunately, that's a Friday the 13th, but we're not going to let that keep us from having it open for Fat Tuesday in 2026.
For some of us, there's 52 Fat Tuesdays a year.
Are there? Well, speaking of Fat Tuesday, let's talk food for a second. Culinary scene continues to grow here in Southwest Louisiana, and Chuck Eats is coming up soon.
Yep. We started Chuck Eats several years ago with the help of our restaurant partners who were on board from the very beginning. We couldn't do it without them. It's their restaurants and their food. But, you know, the culmination is 10 days of great deals. You know, last year we had over 40 restaurants participating in Chuck Eats. I anticipate close to that same number or more this year. And like I said, it's a great chance to try new restaurants that you might not have had before if you live here, or go to your favorites because they're offering some things that they don't offer on their regular menu on a daily basis. And so, you know, it's everything will be on the website, Chuck Eats website. And like I said, just plan, you know, for late January to eat out a lot. And that's
yes. Every day, if you don't mind.
We did. Okay. So we did it last year where Brady tried to eat
every weekday.
At least one meal a day was brought to you by a Chuck Eats participating restaurant. By the end of the week, we were rolling around this town because that's a lot of food. But you know what? But we also tried some things we've never tried before. And people are putting things on menus that maybe otherwise would never show up on their menu. They're testing things out.
Yep.
That's a really fun experience.
Yes.
And I agree. And that's what I really love about Chuck Eats is that, you know, we're giving restaurants the freedom to kind of try some things that they want or give just great deals. Speaking of Chuck Eats, I know it's just a tool for what we aim for here at Visit Lake Charles is the expansion of the culinary scene in Southwest Louisiana. How important is that leg of Lake Charles to you?
Well, it's extremely important. There, you know, there's one thing that you can count on is that almost all visitors are going to eat in restaurants. Again, some come into town and end up, you know, they're visiting friends and family, and maybe they have meals at those folks' home. But
right.
Vast majority, 95%, are going to be eating out. And so when we talk about the attractions of coming to Southwest Louisiana, and we talk about our culture, our history, our food, it's right there in that same conversation. You can't talk about what Southwest means without talking about the food. And again, there's special places. And again, you look at the list of restaurants participating in Chuck Eats, almost every one of them is owned by someone who lives in Southwest Louisiana, or their chef is from Southwest Louisiana. And so, I mean, these are locally owned, locally sourced restaurants that are absolutely some of the best you can get anywhere in the world. And so we're very proud of that. So what we're doing from Visit Lake Charles and the marketing team side is just getting that message out. I think the dishes and the food and the restaurants have always been there. It was just now we're the source of being able to put that in front of writers and other bloggers and influencers that can spread that message to those who are coming to visit.
So let's pivot a little bit. You brought this up. Just Imagine.
Okay.
Can we talk about that initiative a little bit? Explain
sure.
that to listeners, and what kind of projects Just Imagine is involved in.
Well, Just Imagine was done by the Community Foundation. A former resident of Southwest Louisiana donated $2.5 million to the foundation after Hurricanes Laura and Delta to create a master resilience plan that would be for the next 50 years. So, you know, it's really hard to think 50 years out. And so these are really big catalytic type projects that are all somewhat in the beginning stages, even the ones that have started, the lakefront being one. So, and again, we've got Port Wonder, we've got Crying Eagle, but that's just the start of what that looks like. Enterprise, again, just the start, the Nellie Letcher Park, the Mardi Gras Museum, the Acadian Ambulance Center that they have on Enterprise. Again, just the start. Bayou Greenbelt is another project that's underway to turn some of our waterway into navigable loop around the city and through the city that would end up being 23 miles that you could paddle and also create walking and biking paths along the bayou. So there's a lot of projects and opportunities because the Just Imagine I would describe it as an umbrella of thoughts and planning by Urban Design that had input from over 5,000 citizens of. So, you know, the part of this plan that I think is most important is our citizens all came to the table or came to the computer and put their thoughts in, but it was not done in a closet. This was a lot of public input, a lot of public perception with what was going to be done, and then this plan. And like I said, you can see bits and pieces of it. The Lost Project, the housing project on Lake Street,
mm-hmm.
which just opened. It's the first of the buildings. Well, it's a massive project
yeah.
that. You know, we were able to get some additional funding from Housing and Urban Development, and it's one of the choice projects. And so that will continue to grow right there and will be a much needed new housing development right in the heart of Lake Charles. When you think about the center of Lake Charles, you know, it's not really downtown or any of that. That if you look at a map, that truly is
the middle.
The middle,
yeah,
mid city for a reason, I guess is correct.
Fair.
But it's in the heart, and so it can be such a useful tool for citizens who are wanting to be in the middle and live in the middle and have accessibility to all of the things around them.
So we've obviously talked about some of the lakefront popping up, Mardi Gras, obviously, even mid-city. Going back to downtown, the downtown sports complex and what it's going to mean for the future of downtown and Lake Charles sports tourism and just overall, what's the vision, the timeline? Who all will use it? I mean, this, I think not a lot of people realize how huge this project is.
Well, it's a massive project, Brady, in multiple ways. One, the sheer size of the facility. You know, I think people locally that have not had the opportunity to go to a facility like this, see the facilities we have at Ward 3 at SPAR, and think that it's going to be in that term. And those are great facilities, but they are so small in comparison to the size of this facility. When you think about it, we'll have 8 basketball courts side by side by side with nothing between you. Nothing from a pole standpoint, nothing. Mm-hmm. It is clear open space. The entire structure will be somewhere between 150 and 170,000 square feet, which by comparison, the event center is, I think, a little over 50,000 square feet. So you're talking about 3 times that size of space. And then the flexibility. A lot of these types of facilities, the switching of what sport is being used is actually done through the ceiling. And so you can drop goals down and play basketball. You can drop nets down and play volleyball. You can drop a different net down and play pickleball. You can, again, open it up and not have any nets, and you have a dance cheer competition. And so, you know, the company that we work with, Sports Facilities Corporation, you know, they estimate that the economic impact of this will be, I think, close to $30 million a year, which is far in excess of anything that we have currently because of the multitude of events that you can have in there. And because now inside, you know, we do a great job with our diamond sports, with outdoor, but you're subject to weather. You can't. It's hard to play baseball in December. It's cold. It's rainy. It's wet. So, but indoors, you don't have that anymore. Now you can roll people in here in August, right in the heat of the day, and you're in 72 degree weather because it's inside. So, you know, the day after the city council passed moving forward with the project, our senior VP of sports, Eric Zartler, had 3 different events contact him that day, mm-hmm. wanting to start a conversation about bringing their event here.
Wow.
And so I think the impact will be even far greater than what SFC has projected, because I think given our location to Texas, and this will be the nicest facility between Houston and Mobile, that we're going to see tremendous growth of our indoor sports in that facility once built. And what it does for downtown is, again, it brings walkability and traffic, as well as the lakefront. Again, you're talking about density of people. And so, you know, the number of people that are playing when you've got that many courts, whether it's basketball, volleyball, cheerleading, you know, those people want to walk somewhere for lunch. They, you know, they don't want to necessarily get in their car and drive to one of our restaurants. They're going to walk to the lakefront. They're going to walk to downtown. They're going to walk what's convenient. And I think it's going to have a significant impact on growing our downtown and lakefront area.
And sports tourism is huge. I mean, I think people here who are locals maybe don't think about it in those terms. But sports tourism, the state championships that we host here, the Gumbo Gators being in town. I mean, I think people maybe underestimate how big it is.
The baseball tournaments that you don't realize. That's the ones that so many tournaments that are being played here that if you don't happen to be passing by the ballpark or have a kid
involved,
you don't realize the families that are coming in, I mean, on average weekly, that spend their time here. And this just continues that with other sports. In addition to that, locals benefit from this as well, not just in the economy either. There will be memberships available for locals to use the facilities too.
Yes. So there is not a workout facility anywhere in the downtown area since the hurricane. Okay. And so there will be a fitness center component to this that will allow locals to be members of and to utilize all of the different weights, cardio, and different machines that you would find in any good workout facility. And so, yes, for those who live in the downtown area or work in the downtown area and want somewhere to work out at lunch or right after work, this place will provide that for our local citizens.
Now, for the future, a project like this kind of changes everything. But even as soon as this year, our national rep is growing with some of the events sports-wise that we're bringing in, like the Junior College National Championship coming up soon.
Yes. We have a 3-year agreement with the NJCAA to bring their Women's Division I National Championships here. You know, the difference between the Junior College and the NCAA Women's Tournament that you might see on television is they actually bring 24 teams here. So they have some play-ins to qualify, but then 24 teams are here, and it's for 10 days. So, you know, where you see the women's pods or the men's pods, and you know, you have 8 teams, and then they're there for 2 games,
right,
and they
right.
move on.
Yeah.
We're going to have 24 teams here with the championships and the ones playing at the very end
sure.
here for a total of 10 days. And so it is a massive event. For us locally, and like I said, kudos to our team, but also to McNeese and their athletic director, Heath Troyer. All the games will be played at the Legacy Center. Again, when they came here on a site visit, they just loved the facility. You know, it's a very tight facility where the fans are close to the action, and so it really provides a great opportunity for the fans of these teams, the families. To be right up and to really have an impact and make a lot of noise while their team is playing. And so we're very appreciative of that partnership. But, yeah, this will be the first of the 3 years, and we're certainly hopeful that this will be the start of a longer-term relationship to keep it here ongoing because, again, it hits at a time late March that the McNeese teams have already either finished up playing or won't be playing at home. And so it feels the need for both the community and the facility.
When visitors are planning their trips here in 2026, what's the big takeaway that you want everyone to walk away with about Southwest Louisiana?
The big takeaway we've always wanted is for people to have a great experience, whether that experience was driven by their enjoyment of our casino resorts, their enjoyment of our great outdoors, whether that be sports and or just outdoor adventure, whether it's culinary, whether it's culture, because what we want them to leave is being an advocate to want to come back and an advocate to others to encourage them to come here. And so, you know, we have, again, a wide array of experiences that people can have and do, but we want each one of them to leave saying, I really love my time in Louisiana's playground. I can't wait to come back, and I'm going to tell so-and-so and so-and-so because I think they would really have a good time here. And so whatever that experience is, you know, because I think the thing that we have that you find in Louisiana as a whole, so I won't take credit that we're the only ones, but the difference that we have over a lot of other destinations is our people. And when people come here, they find hospitable people, people that are welcoming, people that are friendly, people that will invite you to their own crawfish bowl. If you don't have anywhere to have lunch, well, come on over to my house. We're having a crawfish bowl. And so people have that opportunity to have that kind of experience and that personal experience. And then we want them to leave here telling others about how much they enjoyed it.
Well, you heard it here. Come to Southwest Louisiana in 2026 and go to Kyle's house for crawfish boil.
Thanks again to Kyle for joining us on the show yet again. And thank you for taking time out of your day. Yeah, I'm talking to you, the listener, for joining us on this here podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please do us a favor. Rate it on whatever podcast app you got. Maybe if you can leave a review. I think Spotify lets you do that. YouTube does as well. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review. We want to hear from you. We want to know what you like, what you don't like, some things that maybe you want to see, or that, hey, you just really enjoyed listening to us today. We appreciate any comment.
That's right. Your feedback helps us grow our audience and further share the unique experiences that Lake Charles and all of Southwest Louisiana have to offer. Go to visitlakecharles.org/podcast for more episodes, advice on where to eat, and events that are happening this weekend. I'm Jillian Quarter.
And I'm Brady Raynard. Thanks again for coming to play at Louisiana's Playground. Sit you.